Let's take our Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 29. We've been looking at this chapter and dealing with faith. Faith is trust in God. We looked at the definition of faith and how it's that by which we please God. Earlier in the chapter, we've looked at the examples of some people in the Bible, how they've walked with God by faith and taken steps and made decisions in their life by faith. And we've been looking at Moses, and we kind of carry on with Moses, though it generalizes it more now and goes to the children of Israel as a nation rather than just Moses himself. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you saw no way out, where it seemed like you're at a dead end? There was just no way that you could get through with a situation that you were heading through. And maybe it was the fact that the month's money was all gone, but there was more month left at the end of the money. And you thought, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And maybe it was a trip to the doctor and the doctor said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do to help you. Maybe it was that relationship that you had with somebody and it seemed to come to an end and you thought, now what? What am I going to do? How will I ever carry on? And it just seemed like a dead end that you came to in your life. The great plans that you had come to a halt and seemed to have all fallen apart and fallen to pieces. And they say, now what? I can't carry on. I just don't know what I'm going to do. And hope was gone. Despair set in. You just can't see how it will ever turn around. There are times in our lives where we come to that point. Sometimes it seems like numerous times in our life we come to that point. Sometimes the situations of our own making, aren't they? We make choices and we make decisions and we get what we chose, although we didn't expect that to be the way it turned out. We knew we were headed down a path that probably wasn't the best, and others may have warned us about it, but we said, no, I'm just going to carry on. But sometimes there are times when we get to those dead-end seemingly situations where it seems like we were doing all we knew to do right. And we were headed down a path that we felt that God Himself perhaps even was leading us in, and we were doing meaning well by what we were doing. It may be that you're at that place this morning where you say, I just feel like I'm closed in and I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to make it. I don't know if there's any hope, if there's any way out of the situation. Well, in our text this morning, we find that there was a situation just like that, where God had led Israel to a situation where there was no way out. There was mountains, a sea, and the enemy army closed in. No way out. What would they do? How could they go on? What could possibly take place? Well, we find in our text this morning that it was faith that made the difference. And it says in verse number 29 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith they, the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. I'd like us to consider this morning a message I've entitled, Move Forward by Faith. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, again for this time, and we thank you for the fact that you do want to speak to our hearts through your word today. Lord, this book that we have before us was written many years ago, and yet because it was written by the inspiration of yourself, it's profitable for us today in 2014 in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. And we're thankful for that. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts today. And may each one of us realize that you want to speak to our hearts. And may you minister to us in the situation that we're in. Lord, it may be that there's someone here that feels like they're at that dead end and just doesn't know which way to turn and doesn't know if there's really a way out. Well, I pray that they would realize this morning that you are the way out. And if they'll trust you by faith, you have a plan and a purpose for their life, which will open up, perhaps, as it were, a Red Sea and make a path clear to the other side. So, Lord, I pray each one of us would give attention to you and to your word this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is one that's well known, common, the crossing of the Red Sea. It's also one that's been mocked and made fun of, and to think that people have made fun and or tried to lighten it, tried to help God out. You know those people that try to help God out? They say, well, you know, it really wasn't that, the situation wasn't quite like that. And it was a little easier for God to do that. You know, people say that this wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And it really wasn't that deep of a sea. It was the reed, it was full of reeds. And so the Egyptians, you know, the Israelites walked through and they went through that Reed Sea. And it was just ankle deep water and they made it to the other side. A little Sunday school student was in his class and the teacher was telling them, the children, that that was what it was. The Sunday school teacher didn't believe what God said in the Bible, trying to help God out, and said, well, you know, this wasn't really the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And so the Israelites walked through, and they just walked through an ankle-deep water, and they made it to the other side. And the little boy said, wow. And the teacher said, what, son? Wow, I can't believe how God could drown an whole Egyptian army in ankle-deep water. It would go one way or the other, amen. Just take God at His word. The Bible says that they went through on dry ground, by the way. But many have mocked this story, but it's an exciting story of God's power, of His protection, of His salvation and deliverance. And I know, we would like us to consider that this morning. So let's take our Bible and go back to the book of Exodus. Hebrews gives us what took place. Exodus gives us the details of what exactly transpired that day. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter number 13. And then the story of the crossing of the Red Sea itself is in chapter 14. But Exodus chapter 13 is the story. Israel has left Egypt. We find that in chapter 12 was the Passover. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And the Passover, when the angel of death passed throughout the camp of Israel, or Egypt rather, passed over all those who had the blood applied to their doorposts. And then we came to chapter, after that, the Israelites were sent out of Egypt. Pharaoh finally said, go! Get away! Just leave! Leave us alone! And so the Israelites left and they went out. And so there they were, free from slavery, heading out into the wilderness, following God's path for them. It says in chapter 13 and verse number 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them in by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I just realize that this time that Israel faced was a time, first of all, of preparation. There was a time of preparation involved here. We just read that when they left Egypt to go to the promised land, God didn't take them the short way. If you look at a map of where Egypt is, and you know, do it this way from where you're looking, but you look at, think of the Mediterranean Sea, and you've got down over here from your side, you got Egypt, and then it goes up around, and you see the land of Israel is up around here. The quickest way is just to go just right along the coast of the Mediterranean to go up around there to get to the promised land. But the Bible says specifically in verse number 17 that God led them not through the way of the Philistines. That way was the way of the Philistines. You look at a map again, there's the Philistine. Philistia is in that piece of the land. And God didn't take them that way. God led them a different way. God had a purpose in doing that. This is why they ended up at the Red Sea. They didn't choose their own way and all of a sudden realize, uh-oh, the GPS didn't work, and now we've got mountains and a sea in front of us and the Egyptians behind. No, this was a specific plan of God to lead them specifically that way. They weren't ready, according to what God said in verse number 17, to face the battles yet. They weren't ready to go into the promised land yet. Now, I'm sure that they thought they were, but God said they were not. God led them because he knew that they weren't prepared, and he wanted to prepare them to enter into Canaan, that land of promise. They'd seen his miracles in Egypt. But as we see throughout the history of even their wilderness wanderings, they really weren't fully trusting in God to do what God could do for them. And so God had a plan to prepare them for the things that they would face in the land of Canaan. Verse 18 tells us that they went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now we may think of harnessed as having harnesses on and somehow strapped together or something. But that's not what it refers to. When it speaks of being harnessed there, it means that they were armed. They were ready for battle. They knew that there were going to be battles to take over the promised land, and they were ready to face those battles in their own mind. They were able-bodied. They had soldiers. Remember, these people had been slaves working hard. They were strong people, physically, and I'm sure that they felt they were ready to face the battles. They went up harnessed out of the land, but God said you weren't ready. They ended up at what seemed like a dead end because God took them there. God took them to that place where there was, as we'll see, no way out. God diverted them from the direct route to prepare them for what lay ahead. And look at chapter 14 then. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea." So there, God said, this is where I want you to go. And this is where I've led you to go. He had a plan and he knew what lay ahead. Look in verse 3. "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in." God knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew they were going to end up at that situation where it seemed like it was a dead end. But his presence was evident with them during this preparation. You notice what we read in verse 21 and 22 of chapter 13. God was with them. By day there was a pillar of cloud. That wasn't just a cloud. It wasn't a tornado cloud. That was God manifesting himself, his presence to them in the form of a cloud. When Israel looked and they saw that cloud, they followed that cloud and God led them by way of that. It was indication of his presence with them. And in his preparation for them, he made sure that they knew that he was leading them and that he was present with them. By day it was a pillar of cloud, by night it was a pillar of fire. There was no doubt that God was with them in that situation. You know, there are times when we think we're ready for anything. Oh yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm all harnessed, as it were, as they were. Harnessed. I'm ready for the battle. I'm ready to go ahead. And we think we're ready for whatever comes our way. But God, who knows everything, sometimes sends us on what may seem to us to be a detour that may even end up seemingly like it's going to nowhere. Because God says, you weren't ready, and I've got a plan to help prepare you for what is ahead. We may have quite a different plan mapped out for our lives, but God knows the best way. If they'd have looked at a map, and I don't know whether they had maps, if they don't have a specific map of that area, but if they'd have looked at a map and they'd have seen where Egypt was and where Israel, Canaan was, where the promised land where they were going, they would have taken the shortcut. Back when I was in Bible Institute, there was a guy who was in our class, and we had to draw a map of the journeys of the children of Israel. And on his map, he put a little note just below the Mediterranean Sea. He put shortcut milk and honey. But they didn't take the shortcut. We would have taken it. We'd say, hey, I want to go straight there. But God said, you're not ready for that yet. I have a different plan, and I have a detour for you that's going to lead you to what you may think is a dead end, but I have a plan in that situation. The way that God leads us is the way that prepares us for what He has for our life. And may I remind you this morning that as we see in the children of Israel, in God's way, His presence is known along the way. By the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. He's there, if you just look and see. He is there to lead you. He is there to guide you. He's there to make His presence known. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." The Bible says that to the Christian, to the believer, He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And He wants us to recognize His presence to be real in that time of preparation that we may seem like is a wasted time, or we may seem like is a dead end or the wrong direction. Are you at that place in your life today? May you realize that God has a plan and He has a purpose. It was also a time of proving for Israel. It was a time of preparation. It was also a time of proving. As we find in our chapter number 14, we left off at verse 3. So look at verse number 4. God told Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we let Israel go from serving us? They said, we just lost all our labor force. We're going to have to start working now. What are we thinking? And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You see the situation here, that Israel feels like there's no hope, we're doomed. What are we doing here? It was a time of proving for them. We see that it was a time of proving for Egypt. Now you would think that after seeing 10 plagues, God bring 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt, that Egypt would have said, man, God is God, we should turn and serve Him. But they didn't. They weren't yet ready to see that. They were unwilling to accept the reality of God, of who God was. How sad that Pharaoh and the Egyptians hardened their hearts so much that they refused to believe the evidence that was right in front of their faces. You know, sometimes we wonder how much it will take for people to realize that there's a God. A God who loves them. A God who wants to care for them. A God who wants to have an intricate part of their life and fellowship with them. Because God reveals Himself to us through nature. We sang that song, How Great Thou Art. It talks about how God created things. We look and see the stars. And the psalmist said, when I see the stars, the work of Thy hand, I marvel. I say, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Doesn't it not evidence the fact that there's a Creator? Then the song, we didn't sing the verse, it says when God, His Son not sparing, God revealed His love to mankind and demonstrated that by sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And the immensity of God's love to send Jesus to die for us, to pay the price for our sin. We think, how could we not see that? And then He's given us this book, the Bible, that's been read and proven over and over again to be true and accurate and has changed people's lives. And God brings Christians into people's lives that evidence God and what God can do in a life and how God can change a life. And yet still people say, I don't believe in God. And that's what Egypt, they saw so much. And yet they said, no, we don't believe. So God brought them to this place and He said, I'm going to show to Pharaoh who I am. I'm going to show to Pharaoh what I can do. If he doesn't believe it yet, he will see today. And so as we look around and think about the same situation that takes place in our lives today and how we miss seeing what God wants us to see because we harden our hearts and say, no, I won't believe. We mentioned it Wednesday night, but the Bible says that those who refuse to believe in a Creator are willingly ignorant, because it makes no sense not to believe that there's a designer behind life. And so we think about the fact that God wants to reveal Himself to us, and He's done so much, and we think of Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That great love. We hear the voice of Jesus Christ saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. And we see what God has done in the lives of others. And God is saying, I want you to see. I want you to see what I can do. Would you believe in me? Don't harden your heart against that. Don't be like Egypt. But not only was it a time for Egypt to be proven, but it was a time for Israel to be proven. See, they were faced in this situation, and they were caught in this trap, what seemed like a trap. It was a time to say, if God led us here, what's God going to do? Or, there's no hope. We're done. We're doomed. Though they'd seen God had protected them in Egypt, they needed to trust Him more. When they saw the Egyptians closing in, they were in great fear. That's what we read there. It says they cried out in fear. God, what are you doing to us? And we could piously say, how could they do that? But if we were there, what would we be thinking? When we are there, what are we thinking? When our life seems to close in and we come to those places how can I get out of this? Sometimes I say, Lord, what are you doing? How did you do this to me? But God has a plan. God had a plan for Israel. Israel cried out in fear. They blamed Moses. You see what they said to Moses? Why did you bring us out here to die just because you didn't think there was any graves in Egypt? Look at verse 12. Isn't this the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Is that really what they said? My Bible says that when they were in Egypt and they were slaves, they cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard their groanings. And He sent a deliverer to deliver them. Did they really say, hey, let us be slaves. We want to be slaves for the rest of our life. I don't think they really said that. But they said, hey, rather than die in the wilderness, we'd rather be slaves. They feared the worst. They were in a situation that only God could change. And God wanted to prove them. He wanted to show Himself real to them. He didn't want them trapped. He wanted to show that He could open up a path in the midst of the sea. He was preparing them by showing His power in their midst. Only God could prevent what seemed absolutely inevitable. The Egyptian armies are going to kill us in the wilderness. Only God could change that. God was saying to Israel, are you going to trust me? I brought you here. See the pillar of cloud? I'm here with you. You think you're trapped? Don't you think I have a plan if I could deliver you? Don't you think if I could deliver you from those 10 plagues, don't you think I have a plan? Can you trust me? There are times in our lives where we seem to be backed up against a wall in a place where we sometimes even think God led us to be here and we say, why? God says, just hang on. I'll show you why. I've got a plan, and I've got a purpose. I want to show myself strong on your behalf. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. He's looking. Are you going to trust me? In 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible tells us that the trying of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. God wants to try us. He wants to prove us. He wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. We need to learn at these times to trust God and see Him at work. It was a time of preparation. It was a time of proving, but it was also a time of progress. We're at the Red Sea. There's a mountain here, there's a mountain here, and there's an army coming up behind there. There's no way out. And there's the ocean, there's the sea. There's this, where are we going to go? But God had a plan. It seemed like a dead end, but that's where faith came in. Remember that verse we read, Hebrews 11:29? By faith, they crossed the Red Sea, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith. God says, I have a plan if you will trust me. It was a time of progress. God turned the dead end into a new path. A path of deliverance, a path of salvation. And they were to go forward into the Red Sea. Look at verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward? We can't swim. We can't take all our cattle across the sea. How are we going to do this? But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground, not ankle deep water, dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to turn to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. See the time of progress? Can you imagine what was taking place? Can you imagine the being there? I mean, we can read it and we can maybe see Charlton Heston standing over there in his version of the story, but can you imagine being there? Can you just imagine what it would be like? Can you imagine the fear that was striking the hearts of Israel? And yet, can you imagine the power of God evidenced as that strong east wind came forth and Moses held his rod over there and those waters started to just part right in the middle and the ground dried up so it was, you could walk on it without sinking in? And they said, "Go forward." Moses said, "Go forward." And God commanded them and they went forward through the midst of the sea. They didn't go back to Egypt. They went forward to where God had planned for them. That dead end wasn't a dead end. It was just a way that God could show them a new path and a new way for their lives. They weren't destroyed as they feared by Pharaoh, but they were alive and well. It was a miracle like they'd probably never ever seen before. An amazing situation. How else could they go forward except that God would open up the way? I can't imagine. I mean, what were the walls like? We've been to one of the Ripley's aquariums and you walk through and there's water over top and there's water beside and you're in a little conveyor thing. If you wander, you can walk through and it's like you're in the middle of the ocean kind of thing, but you don't get wet. You know, you got it over top of you, around on either side. I don't know whether that's what it was like. I mean, I don't think there's any over the top, but you know, you wonder, could you poke your finger in or was it hard? You know, could you grab a fish to take late for later or something? I don't know. But what a miracle. Can you imagine just walking through there and you imagine those people as they, perhaps a million or more Jews as they walked out of Egypt and they walked through that and wow. And in the midst of that, what do we find? The Bible says that the angel of the Lord came behind them and it was a cloud of darkness to Egypt, but it was a cloud of light to Israel. God's presence right there with them, showing them the way and protecting them all through the whole path. God kept that path open for them all the way through. He didn't abandon them halfway through and thought, "Now what am I going to do?" No, He had a plan to get them all the way through. And when Egypt started to come through, did you see what happens? The Bible says an angel started to take the chariot wheels off. You ever had your wheel fall off your car? We were on the way to church one time. My brother had an old Austin Mini. And I was probably, I don't know, 13, 14. And I had two older brothers. And my mom and dad, all of us were in this little Austin Mini. You can tell we're from England, amen. But it was in Canada. And we were driving down. It was started to make a bit of a rattling noise. They, what in the world is that? So we pulled over and realized that one of those, you know, some of those four bolts that hold those little 10-inch wheels on were loose. Yeah, that wouldn't have been a very nice thing to lose that wheel. But you see what happened here, that those wheels, the angels, I mean, did you think God has a sense of humor? Go down and pull out those cotter pins and those wheels start to fall off. Loosen those U-bolts holding on those axles and all of a sudden the chariot falls off the wheels. I mean, God had a plan in that, and God delivered Israel, and what a miracle it was to see what was taking place here. You know, that if it seems like you're at the end, do you realize that God has a plan to go forward? The Bible says that God is the one who shuts and no man can open, and He opens and no man can shut. You know, nobody could have stopped that sea opening up. Who ever thought of a sea opening up? Would you have ever thought? I mean, you maybe think, well, maybe God's going to send some lifeboats or some rafts to get them across. But to dry up the sea? Did some studying on this, and actually was talking to Pat about it a little bit before the service, and there was a man who was an archaeologist from the United States and had a great last name. I won't tell you what it is, but you can probably guess. Anyways, he's no relative as far as I know, but he did some studying, and whether what he found to be true, where he believes that God opened up the Red Sea, it was, if you look at the map of the Red Sea, it kind of goes up into two things, and there's a peninsula down the middle. He believes that it was the second one as you're heading towards Canaan, where, and if he did some studying, and there's one place in the sea where the water is a lot shallower than anywhere else. It's like a path that leads straight through the Red Sea. It doesn't go steep down. It's just a shallow way, and it just goes down, I think, 700 or 800 feet, which sounds like a lot, but over the width there, compared to everywhere else where it dropped off, it's very, very slim. This Ron Wyatt, oh, there he goes, I said his last name. Anyways, but he did some stuff, and him and his sons went, and they took pictures, and others have taken pictures, and there's coral formations in the shape of chariot wheels with the axles on them down at the bottom of the sea in that particular place. And there's pillars on either side that were erected. One was falling down, one was still up. Pillars that talk about things. And it's hard to read the inscriptions, but they believe that it's talking about the crossing of the Red Sea. But can you imagine? God had a place. I mean, what seemed like a dead end, God said, this is why I had you camp here, because this is where that sea just has a nice, shallow path. When I open it up, you're just going to be able to walk right through. That dead end was no dead end. God said, I've got a plan. You need to go forward. You got to go. It's going to take faith. You got to trust me. But if you go forward, you'll see the path. When God shuts one door, He will open another one. That trial in your life is not to defeat you, but perhaps to open up a new opportunity. But it takes faith. By faith, they passed through the water. God may have brought you to the end of yourself so that you say, I can't do anything about this. And God says, that's right, but I'm here. I have a plan for your life. Your plans may have fallen apart, but I have a plan. You realize that God has to bring us to a place where we realize we cannot save ourselves. Sometimes we think, well, I can do enough good things and God will be happy. No, God says that salvation is a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And sometimes He just has to bring us to the end, so we say, God, I surrender. And God says, praise the Lord, I'm glad you surrendered. Now just turn to me. I'll save you. Just trust me. God may have brought you to that dead end because He has a different plan for your life. At your dead end, at your crossroads, look to God and He will direct you forward in a way that you probably couldn't imagine would have ever opened up. That's what He did for Israel. Their faith grew as a result of what took place in this situation. And no wonder. Whose faith wouldn't grow? Because the Bible says in the last verse there, they saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. those impossible situations, those dead ends, we come and we say, I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we turn to God and we trust God. And we see God do something great and we say, wow, I didn't know God could do that. I didn't know God cared enough to do that for me. And we say, praise the Lord, what a great God, what a great Savior. Now I know next time I can trust Him more. And faith grows. Our faith in God is increased as we see Him do what He alone can do in our life. May I say to you today that as you see it, God at work in the trials of your life, your faith will grow stronger. Somebody said that trials will either make you better or bitter. They make you better if you allow them to draw you closer to God. We often desire the easy path. Give me the shortcut, Lord. Just sneak under the Mediterranean Sea there. I'm ready to go on the land. God says, no, there's some things you're not quite ready for. And you need to be prepared. You need to learn to trust me more. I've got a different path for you to go. When we face trials, we often, our instincts are like Israel and we fear the worst and say, let's go back. But God says, no, you need to go forward by faith. Trust me. We desire the easy path, but it's in the storms of life that our faith is strengthened. Times of trial, illness, financial woes, struggles, they're the things that strengthen our faith, just like they did for Israel on this day. Are you facing some difficulties in your life? Let them draw you closer to God. Go forward. We don't have time to look at chapter 15, but it ended up being ultimately a time of praise. Chapter 15 is just a song of praise to God for what God did in delivering them. There was the preparation, there was the proving, but then there was the progress that led to the praise. You may feel like you're at a dead end today. Maybe despair has crept into your life where hope once was. Would you realize today that God is in the dead end? The dead ends and the detours in your life. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He's interested in your life and He has a plan for you to move you forward, but you must trust Him. You must trust Him by faith. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, let me remind you this morning that He loves you and He wants you to know Him. He wants you to find Him in this trial that you may be facing in your life. He may have brought you to what seemed like a dead end in your life for that one purpose, to make you look to Him and be saved. The Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. God is the only one. He is the only Savior. And if He has brought you to a place that seems like a dead end, you say, I just don't know where to go, look up because He's ready to receive you. Believe Him. Trust Him. Invite Him to be your Savior today. Christian, will you trust God as He leads you, even perhaps through some deep waters in your life? Remember, He's with you. He's promised His unfailing presence, and there are no dead ends. He has a plan. You just have to look to Him and trust Him, and He'll lead you through that situation. Are you progressing in your faith, allowing the trials to move you forward for Him, praising Him for what He has done in your life and bringing you through the trials? Remember, there are no dead ends with God. He just wants you to move forward by faith. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for this time. We thank you for this exciting story, wonderful story of your word. Lord, thank you that you've given us the Bible that gives us these stories, and we may look at them and just think of them as amazing historical facts. But Lord, they're more than that, because you told us that your word was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so today, because we've seen Israel come to a dead end and see you open up that dead end and make a new path, we've been reminded that in our lives, when we seem to be brought to a dead end, you are there to open up a path. Lord, I pray that we see that this morning. I pray if there's anyone here this morning who is not sure that if they die today, they go to heaven, never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, that today they would realize perhaps you brought them to a difficult circumstance, perhaps what seems like a dead end in their life, because you want them to look to you. You want them to realize that of themselves they cannot go to heaven, but because you love them so much, you provided that way of salvation, and they can trust you by faith. They can accept your gift of salvation, believing that Jesus died for them, confessing their sin, and know that salvation. And today, Lord, you would receive them as your child. For your word tells us that whoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast them out. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, I thank you that there's hope for everyone. Paul, who wrote of himself as the chiefest of sinners, said that you had saved him. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help any here this morning who may be despairing, perhaps, of their situation, thinking that their life is too bad, to realize this morning that you can save them and give them a new path, hope, and victory in their life. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, I pray that this morning you'd help us to realize that there are times in our life, there are going to be times in our life where it seems like we're led to those dead ends, where it seems like there's just no way to turn. But Lord, help us to realize that whether it's today that we're in that situation or another day, that you have a plan, a purpose, and Lord, you have a path to open up for us. A way that we could not see, a way that is far greater than we could have imagined. Lord, you just want us to trust you by faith. And so speak to us each one, I pray this morning, and may it be that we would have our hearts touched by your Spirit today, and that we would act upon that which we know that you are speaking to us about, we pray, in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning and nobody's looking around, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Has there been a time and a place in your life where you trusted him? Where you say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I know I can't save myself, but I believe Jesus died for me and I receive his salvation. Has there been that time in your life where you received Jesus Christ? You say, yes, preacher, that's me. I remember a time in my life where I called upon God, asked him to forgive me and to be my Savior. That's my testimony. Well, nobody's looking around. Would you slip your hand as a testimony of that this morning? Yes, preacher, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know I've asked him to be mine. Amen. Many hands this morning. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I've ever done that. I don't know that if I die today, I go to heaven. I don't have that assurance because I'm not sure I've ever received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I would like to. Oh, I'd like to know him. I'd like to know that heaven is my home. I'd like to know that he's forgiven me of my sins and receive me as his child. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Let me pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning, Christian, you say, God has spoken to my heart, preacher. I know him, there's no doubt about that, but I've been feeling like I've been at a dead end, and I've just been despairing and wondering how in the world things were going to be and questioning God. But God has encouraged my heart, spoken to my heart this morning, preacher. I need to go forward by faith in the plan that God has for me. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Let me pray for you today. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord, thank you that you've spoken to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to act upon that which you've spoken to us about. Lord, you know our hearts and you know our lives. You know that if there's anyone here who doesn't know that great salvation that you provided, Lord, that today you're willing to receive all who will call upon you and save them. Lord, thank you that you are willing to save to the uttermost all who will call upon you. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help any who aren't sure of that to make sure of it today. And, Lord, for those who are Christians, particularly those who raised their hand today, I pray you'd help them in that which you've spoken to their heart about, the plan that you have, the purpose that you have for their life. And so, Lord, I pray that as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, Lord, that this would be a time where we'd make decisions, decisions that would count for eternity, decisions that would impact our life today. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.